A good night of Shabbos. Parshas Bo'i. It's one of those Shabbosim that you just have to sit and spend the time deciding what not to say. Very frustrating. It's the week of Tzias Mitzrayim. So much chizuk in so many different areas that we need. So many doses of inspiration. But I had to choose one. So I want to maybe follow up a little bit on the theme that we began last week. Last week we spoke about how Vegamani Shamati, as we do chesed, we inspire the world around it. Tonight I want to focus how by a person doing chesed and showing you how that was a prerequisite for going out, he actually makes the world better for everybody and for himself. When you do chesed to someone else, you inspire that person with the story we shared last week, with the chaplain who inspired the commander. And I want to show it to you how it's mamash in the parasha this week. It's a pasuk chumash, according to the Vilna Gaon. In this week's parasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Klal Yisrael to go borrow gold and silver from the Mitzrayim, from the Egyptians. Klal Yisrael says, how's it going to be? Moshe says, go. Klal Yisrael didn't want to, and we went. The Vilna Gaon says that's not what happened. It's amazing. We all learned that story. And the Vilna Gaon says, look at the psukim, you'll see that's not what happened. Hashem does not command them to go borrow from the Mitzrayim. First, Hashem says they should go borrow Ish Mere Ehu. Everyone should go to their friend. The Egyptians were not called Re'ehu. Chazal tell us all the time, Re'ehu is a fellow Yid. Says the Vilna Gaon, this whole story is strange. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, go and borrow from your friends. I thought we're borrowing from the Mitzrayim. Says the Vilna Gaon, an incredible, incredible idea. That usually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go borrow from your enemies. The Yidden looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, they're not going to lend us a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I hear you're right, they hate you. But let's try to get them to like you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Vilna Gaon, this is how he learns Pshat in the Psukim, go borrow from each other. Even when you don't want to lend each other. And by you working on yourselves and borrowing and lending each other, you are going to inspire the Egyptians to lend you as well, even though they don't want to. Because goodness inspires and breeds more goodness. So the pshat of Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them how they can inspire Egyptians who have such a deep hatred for us. But if we go ahead and we'll be mischassed with each other, so he said, go borrow from each other and then watch. The Egyptians will see how kindness works. They'll follow suit. We're supposed to be an inspiration for the nations of the world. And when we'll be kind one another, they will be kind to us. And that fits beautifully with what we shared last week. We learned this lesson in this week's parasha. You know, I have a question. Anyone feel free to ask at your Shabbos table this week. Ask your kids, or whoever you're with, the Shabbos, which they think was the most difficult of the 10 makas, of the 10 plagues. I assure you that the first 9 will not guess this one, which Chazal tell us. I can think of every single one, but the one that Chazal say, I definitely don't think was the hardest. So I don't have the opportunity to go around the room and ask everyone to guess. But Chazal say, the hardest makkah was makkah of Choshech, it was darkness. I'm not saying it was pleasant, but it's hard for me. Yeah, frogs, if you'd like, I can go through all 9. I think Choshech was painful, it was a pain. I don't think anyone can say it was the hardest. And one of the great Magidim, Rav Shabsi the Levitch, explained, you know why? Because it was the makkah that they suffered alone. All the other markers, yes, there was blood oozing out of everywhere, but they had each other. Tzardeya, each other. Chishek, Chazal tell us, was pitch black. Everybody was alone. That was the most difficult. You know why? Because there's nothing. There's no inspiration to continue. There's no one helping anyone else that inspires you to help. It just it doesn't create that vibe of chesed, that culture of kindness. And we learned from that that the prerequisite to going out of Mitzrayim, what was the prerequisite? People don't know this. The first pasuk in Parshas Beshalach, beginning of Parshas Beshalach, it says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael went out, chamushim, fortified, or many different ways to translate it. But Chazal tell us, it means they went out five times bigger than themselves. For those of you that know, four-fifths of Klal Yisrael, of the men of Klal Yisrael, died in Mitzrayim. That means every Jewish family adopted four families to get out of Mitzrayim. And that's what it means. Vachamushim, says Chazal Medrash. They went up with five families instead of one. And that merit they got out. Because everyone took four other families under their wing. And guess what? You think everyone did it at the same time? Some people went ahead. Maybe some took eight. Chatayr is testifying, no. Every Jew took five. Four families and his own. It wasn't. Some people took eight families. Some people took none. There was a ruach of chesed. And that's chus got us out. Everyone said, I'll take four families. I'll take four families. This is the key of creating a good shul, a good community, a good school. Chesed breeds chesed. When people see chesed, it inspires. And you get chesed. You know, there's a very famous story. It was told many times. Rabbi Krohn tells it. It's already the storytellers got their hands on it already. About a wedding hall in Eretz Yisrael that had two floors. It's called the Wolf, Ulam a Wolf. A very wealthy man, Mr. Wolf, donated it. It's run by a chesed organization. It's so-called Yad Eliezer. It's affordable weddings. There's a cap on the weddings. There's two halls. There's upstairs and downstairs. The upstairs is a little bit bigger. Downstairs is a little bit smaller. And they're both very affordable for not rich people. Happened to have been a certain day that the Kala called up and she got the bigger hall. Obviously, everyone likes the bigger hall. And the next Kala called and they shook it out of the bigger hall. They said an hour or two ago was taken. And the second Kala really wanted the bigger hall. She was having family. And she has the guy, I have to tell her, she had the chutzpah. I don't know how to say this another way. And she called the other Kala and says, I know you were first, but you're just 2 hours first. Can I please have the bigger hall? And the other Kala says, no, I'm sorry, eh? We want the bigger hall. She says, but it really means a lot to me. I have a lot of cousins from abroad. People are coming. I really need the bigger hall. The other Kala didn't need it, but it was nice. It's a nicer hall. It's not a basement. It's an upstairs. Her initial response would be the same as all of ours, or most of us. No, I called first, and I'm not a state. It's too bad. Lamai said, Kala's sitting at home 2 weeks later, and she's talking to her parents. She said, we don't really need the space. Her parents said, no. And to be honest, if we would have gotten the basement hall, we would have been just fine. So she said, this Kala really wants it. And her parents said, listen, we'll respect any decision. It's your wedding. She decides, what do I need? She calls back the other Kala and says, I have a wedding present for you. She says, what is it? She says, you can have the top hall. I'm going to take the cheaper hall. Now, again, the halls were, I have to say, they were, the bottom hall was cheaper, and the upstairs hall was more expensive. And she said, there wasn't big money, but she said, I'll take the lower hall, the basement hall. This Kala that gave it up gets a call, mamish, a week before her wedding. She says, just confirming, you're the Kala that's getting married in which hall? She says, well, we switched. I'm taking the smaller hall, the cheaper hall. She says, well, today's your lucky day. There's a wealthy Jew in America who's making a wedding. And he called me up. He wants to marry off a less fortunate Kala today. And we have the cheap hall, the chesed hall. So I said, there's two Kalas. So he said, what are this, the halls? There's a cheaper one and a more expensive one. He says, yeah. This one a little cheaper. He says, I want to pay for the chasna of the cheap one. I assume she has less money. And she went ahead and he paid the full chasna of the lower chasna, which means this kala had her entire wedding paid off. All the money for her whole wedding her father gave her, she put in her pocket and went home. What's the pshat in such a story? Person does chesed, and they go ahead and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you back chesed. We have to understand, the Torah is not just you do an action in a vacuum. Breathe. I don't want you to know something even more. When you do chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the opportunity to continue doing chesed. And you will watch how opportunities will open up. And I want to finish with a story. And for those of you who were in shul last Shabbos, I shared this story. And I got such feedback from people. I know many, many of the women on the call here don't have the opportunity to come to shul. But I shared a story that's exactly 3 weeks old today. It was 2 weeks old when I said the story, and now it's about 3 weeks old. And people were very, very moved by the story. I'm going to say it a little bit quickly, but to make a very long story short, there's a young woman, unfortunately, when I say young, a woman in her 40s, who got early dementia. Mamash, a young woman with kids at home in her mid-40s. And she went, unfortunately, she had to be put into a home. She has zero recollection. She has no idea what's going on. And she's in a home in Muncie called Metropolitan Rehab, nursing home. And obviously, right as she went in, she had a lot of relatives in Muncie. She lives in Williamsburg with her. And obviously, people came to visit and visit and visit. But you know how it happens. Unfortunately, she doesn't know what's going on. Hopefully, everyone just stopped going to visit. And it didn't really make a difference to her, unfortunately. There was one sister-in-law, Rella Knuffler. She lives in Muncie, and she was very bothered. She says, what do you mean no one's going? She's going to be forgotten about. The nurses aren't going to just let her or whatever. I'm not letting. She made a commitment that 6 days a week, Shabbos is too far. 6 days a week, she's going first thing in the morning to visit her sister-in-law. Every single day, no matter what. Sure enough, every morning she went. Every morning she went to her sister-in-law and said, good morning. She washed her negelwasser. She said, Maidani. She said, Shema, with her. Every day. She finished, and she went to work. She went straight to work from the nursing home every day. Now, this Mrs. Knuffler, this unwell woman, Le'aleinu Le'aleichem, had a roommate, an elderly woman named Helen Levy, very old woman. And the other younger, the healthy Mrs. Knuffler, sister-in-law, kept on trying to engage her. And she asked her many times, are you Jewish? And by the way, Metropolitan's a Jewish nursing home. I happen to know the guy who owns it. He was in yeshiva with me. And she says, are you Jewish? No. Are you Jewish? No. Every day, no, no, no. So, you know, she wasn't going to, fine. One day she says, on Friday, this happened Friday, Parshas Vayechi. She was very boy. Mom is 3 weeks ago. She goes, and for some reason, Hashem puts into her head, she goes over to Helen on her way out. Says, Helen, are you Jewish? She goes, I'm not Jewish. She says, Helen, could you tell me your father's name? So my father's name was Mordechai. Mm-hmm. Helen, what was your mother's name? Rivka. She says, Helen, if your father's Mordechai and your mother's Rivka and your last name is Levy, which part of you is not Jewish? She says, shh, don't talk so loud. They're going to come get us. Unfortunately, 80 years after a Holocaust, Helen Levy, who was a survivor as a young child, was never told anyone she was Jewish out of fear of the Nazis coming to get her, unfortunately. But she, at this point, she had no relatives, nothing. I guess once she asked her, she trusted this lady and she broke her. She's Jewish, but promised her to secrecy. She says, Helen, I won't tell anyone. She asks her, can I wash you negelwasser? She says, yeah. She washes her negelwasser. She says, Maidani, can I tell you, you'll say after? She says, and Helen rattles off the whole Maidani. Then Helen rattles off, she says, Shema. Helen finishes off the whole Shema. She says, Helen, I didn't know you were Jewish. She goes, shh. She says, Helen, I'm going to work now. It's Friday morning, good Shabbos. Helen says, good Shabbos. See you next week. Sunday morning, Mrs. Knopfler walks in to Metropolitan and she sees they're taking a stretcher covered over with a sheet. Her heart pounds. Something doesn't seem right. She says, she quickly runs to the room. and the nurse confirms her worst fears. Helen passed away that morning. And she stops the people taking her. She says, can I ask you, where are you burying her? He says, oh, she's not getting buried. She's getting cremated. He says, why? He says, because we have a, when you come into the nursing home, you fill out a paperwork. Cremating is the default. If you're Jewish, then you get burial, but she pulls out the paper. She's not Jewish. Mrs. Knopfler starts telling them, I promise you, she's Jewish. She told me Friday morning she's Jewish. She says, sorry, it's not on the paper. She runs to the office of this Mr. Klein. Mr. Klein says, I got a problem here because everyone has to fill out paperwork. She filled out that she's not Jewish. And you know, what gets the city involved, cremating is default. I don't know all the legalities of it, but it's complicated. So what do you do when you need help with this? You call the Chassidim. Mrs. Knopfler calls a group of people called Chesed Shalemus Meis Mitzvah. Group of Yidden and Munzi who deal with Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah means people who die without any relatives. She goes ahead and she calls them down. These are the kindest people in the world. They bury people that have no money and no relatives. They have a basic card. So if you ever go to the Catskills in Liberty, New York, it's right on the 52. I've been there. People that have no relatives, a whole bunch of people with no children, no spouses, most of them Holocaust survivors, and they get buried there for free. And let me tell you, the authorities know better than to fight with the Chassidim, and they're able to secure the body. And Monday morning, Parashas Shmos, Helen was buried with Kfuris Yisrael. Could you imagine a woman? And there's so many different lessons, and I shared a different lesson last week from the Parasha. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow, this is months after Mrs. Knopfler was coming in every day and Helen, that she should break Helen's secret. Friday morning and Sunday she should be, and she, one thing, and she walked in the exact second that the stretcher's pulling out. You're talking about a Shkocha Pratis beyond. Why? What chus did Mrs. Knopfler have that because of her Helen Levy is not eternally cut off Olam Haba by being cremated? Which unfortunately means there's zero Olam Haba for you, for the person. Chesed brit chesed. She went ahead every single morning to her sister-in-law and she didn't break and she didn't throw in the towel and she didn't, she said, I'm going to do chesed. Now, because Baruch Hu said, Mrs. Knopfler, you do chesed, I'm going to throw a big one in your lap. I'm going to throw you a chesed that eternally there's going to be a Heilige Yiddish woman, Helen Levy, who never knew, never told anyone she was Jewish till the day she was nifter, where it was all set up. Chesed breeds chesed. We left, and it says the pasuk, "V'chamushim ol bnei Yisrael." We left armed, guard. Why did we leave? Because we adopted other people's children. It was in that schos. And remember the Vilna Gaon. By us borrowing, we got that lesson that even the Egyptians were inspired. Because Baruch Hu should help us all in the schos that we will be mischased one another. But not just, but listen, someone's going through something. We'll take it on, we'll feel it. We were told by the Torah that that's the key, that we will, Be'ezah Hashem, get out of this bitter gullus. Everyone have an absolutely wonderful Shabbos.